Hey, Podnutsians. Welcome to DDG episode 11. Freshly back from PodFest Orlando, February 7th through the 11th. Right now, February 13th. I gotta say, had a blast. I honestly, between everyone, intended on going down and trolling people who I thought weren't passionate about podcasting and who were only worried about starting a podcast to try to make money, try to do things that I thought weren't what podcasting should be. I will say I was very happily surprised. I met a whole lot of very nice people, number one. Everybody had a passion about something. Everybody was smart about something. Nobody was smart about everything. I saw a definite need for techs and nerds to be there to help these people. The range of people I met, I'll say, was broad, from 60 to 70 year old people wanting to help spread information to their community, from a retired vet or a vet, I want to say 29 year old, who wanted to try to help veterans in transition from military service to real life. I met a real estate agent who wants to help people understand how real estate works. And none of those are the, you know, quote unquote famous ones. Those are just the normal people. A very big, huge, broad range of people. I will say, unlike every Linux conference I go to, this conference had the most diversity, and and that's just a fact. Men, women, all ages, all rages, all races, all backgrounds, all countries, all income levels. I mean, hell, William Hung was there. Yes, that William Hung from American Idol. She bang, that guy. He was there. He was really nice guy. And I've said this in the past. If anyone knows me, I've said this in the past. You know, you come to a conference. If you come to a Linux conference, you don't have to know Linux. You come for the people. You come to enjoy meeting new people, talking to smart people, having fun. I am going to say that is still true about every Linux conference I've been to, by far. You know, that is a good rule of thumb. But it might be even more the case down at PodFest Orlando. And this is not insulting anybody who was there, but at least 70% of the people I talked to did not have a podcast out yet. And they all said they planned on launching one in the next week, in the next month, by May or something to that effect. So you don't even have to have a podcast to be there. And in fact, most of the people there didn't have a podcast, but it doesn't mean you cannot come, have fun, learn from other people, enjoy yourself, and meet some vendors, meet some interesting products people are trying to sell. And there's just no way I can put it, except for it was a blast. I already cannot wait to go back next year. Yes, I got to hang with Eric Ardini from Android App Addicts, one of the best guys I've ever hung out with. Yes, I got to hang with Steve Cherbino, the original owner of Podnuts. Again, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, period. But I got to meet a whole bunch of other people. Some of them are what I would consider minor celebrities. Some of them are in the podcasting realm, genuine podcast celebrities. One of the guys' name was Lou from the WDW Walt Disney World podcast, a very unofficial podcast. But his closing keynote, I think, was one of the best talks I've heard in any conference. And I only heard about 20 or 30 minutes of it. But damn, this guy said so many things that were unbelievable accurate about anybody trying to do anything. You go into it with passion, you go into it with love, it will grow itself. It took him a long time. He's been podcasting for 10 years. I've been podcasting for 10 years. So I know exactly what he means. And I will say that one of the things in that conference is a lot of people are going to have to go through a term of hard learning. A couple basic truths about podcasting. iTunes released this study maybe 2 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. But I believe these stats are pretty much exactly accurate still today. And it was around 90% of the podcasts that come out only get it was sub 300 downloads, less than 300 downloads, 300, not 3,000, not 30,000, 300 downloads. And something like 98% of the podcasts never make it past episode 20. Now, with that said, then people have to understand when you get an audience of any level, you must respect them, is my personal belief. You cannot go half-cocked and, well, I only have 500. I'm not going to answer my emails. I'm not going to put out another show for a while. But you got to stick with it. You got to be happy with what you got. Happiness begets happiness, kind of thing, is I firmly believe. But the other thing is, and I don't know how many of them even mention this kind of thing, but I'm a firm believer, when you do any kind of content creation like this, everything you do preceding the actual generation of content should not feel strenuous. It should not feel stressful. It should not feel burdensome. It should not feel like a job. Because if it is, then you're going to start to demand money out of it. And when you don't make that money, and how often do we feel like we're fairly paid? Most of us, we never feel fairly paid. So then it's going to feel like work. It's going to feel like I'm not getting paid enough. And then the podcast will die. That's just how I think most podcasts go. So you got to first and foremost come into it with passion. You got to come into it with some reason for doing it. And I'm going to divert for a second here. I mentioned this a couple times at the event, and only one or two people, I think, heard me and believed me and took it seriously and, took it further in the conversation. I'm 45 years old. I plainly, I think, look my age kind of thing. And I told people for the first 30 years of my life, I literally spoke to nobody. Unless I absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, had to. And when I had to, it was very uncomfortable for, I think, everybody involved. And I spoke very poorly. It took me a very long time just to say a couple words. Even if I only had to say three or four words, it would take at least 30 seconds. It was quite bad. Thus, I don't have the linguistic skills, the communication skills, nor do I have the long term, by my age, I should already have a built-in psyche, a set of skills able to communicate with people. I just don't have that. Now, that's just the way it is. And so what I kept finding myself doing, and this was abundantly clear when the founder of the event, Chris, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, invited me on stage to win a Pazzy, which is like a Razzie. Razzie are awards that go to movies, I believe, where they're just horrible, bad. Something really, dumb happens in them or something to that effect. Well, these are like gag gifts to show, what you did was funny. What you did was embarrassing or something to that effect. But there was no ill intent made. You have a laugh, I have a laugh, we all have a laugh, good stuff. Let's do this again next year. And Chris told me earlier that day, you have to show up to the Pazzies because you're getting an award. I instantly got really nervous. I don't want an award. I don't want even recognition from anybody. I just want to do my thing and make new friends. That's literally all I want. That's literally all I want. So I won an award for the worst pronunciation of Chris's last name. It was just way off. I mean, that's what I do. I mispronounce things. That's just my role in life, I think. And he gave me an award. And he asked, and he called me up on stage to get a shirt and a certificate for some software. And he asked me to say things. And I know I sounded ridiculous. It wasn't speech impediment. It was just nervous anxiety, unbelievable amounts of uncontrollable nervous anxiety. And I said something like, I tried, Chris, I'm sorry. Thank you for this. Yeah, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be cordial. But the nervous anxiety, I remembered shortly thereafter. That was the type of nervous anxiety I felt for the first 30 years of my life. If I knew what the award was for, I think I would have been at least slightly better prepared for it. And I might have been able to say something quippy or funny or something like that, but I wasn't. And I just sounded really bad. In typical fashion, Steve C. patted on my back and said, "You did good up there," which he was just being nice. I know that. Basically, shortly thereafter, I just walked out. I think I told Steve I'd go to the bathroom, but I didn't. I went outside and I puked out of stress and frustration, and I literally cried for a little bit. Multiple times that weekend, out of stress, I found myself breaking down. I always got away from everyone before I did it. And I just, you know, stressed myself as best I could, as quick as I possibly could, in a place where I thought no one could see me, and nobody did that I know of. And then I went back in and tried to act like there's nothing wrong. I tried to medicate myself with beer most of the time. And to be honest, beer, alcohol removes inhibitions. So it removes a certain amount of stresses and pressures that I put upon myself. So I think it in some harmful way helped, which I know that's an oxymoron, but it's the truth. It's the honest truth. But here's one of the things I think I figured out late in the weekend. I don't stutter when I'm doing this show. I don't have speech impediments when I do this show. I don't have anxiety when I do this show. I don't have any of those when I do any of the shows on Podnuts. When I went to Ohio Lennox Fest, when I went to Northeast Lennox Fest, and I gave talks in front of at least one of the rooms, more than 100 people, I had no stress at all. I had no anxiety. And, you know, once in a while, I got to do these self-realization things because perspective is reality. I've said this before a couple of times. And it doesn't matter what someone else thinks they sees or, you know, say to me about something that they see me do. It doesn't matter. My perspective is reality. And that's just the way that my conscious sees stuff. But here's the thing I think I figured out to some degree. One of the very first things that I would say to somebody when I was at the event was, I subscribe to over 140 podcasts. I listen to sometimes 24 to 28 hours of podcast a day. And I think some of the people thought I was trying to show off. I was trying to look impressive. But I don't think that's exactly what it is. I think to my perspective, I was trying to place myself as a person with credibility. Somebody of authority. I believe, at least to some degree now, when I believe I'm in a position of authority, when I think I'm in a position of respectability, I have no or as little speech impediment as I think I'm capable of having. I'll say I don't like that. But I think that's what I was trying to do. I said that so many times. And honestly, I had just random encounters with 30 plus people. And I'll say once in a while, when I didn't say that first, I'd say maybe two times during the weekend. I think when I didn't have the opportunity to say that first, and the conversation went someplace, and I think I was genuinely rude to at least two people. Without the intent of being rude, I think I was trying to make my position clear. Maybe too clear, maybe, so I don't know, but, and here's like, you know, the excuse I give to myself. The only constant in this thing we call a universe, in our consciousness, in our life, is change. You know, change is it. And the only change that's guaranteed is you're going to die soon because right now you're alive. So that's like one of the changes. So I try to proactively figure out my own metrics, my own analog algorithms. I don't know how to put it, but I try to constantly figure these little things out that I really do think with the ultimate goal of making myself, I don't want to say better, understanding myself, having a little bit more control over myself, knowing what to expect, how to act better, how to communicate better, and how to just be nicer. to a whole lot of people, because I met some people there who were unbelievably nice. I've already joined like two Patreons. I know I'm going to join at least one or two more of these people. They were just so damn nice. The veteran guy who wants to help people transition. I mean, can you get more honorable than that? I don't even know. I honestly don't know. But damn it, he's going to get my support one way or another. I'm also heavily considering putting in for a talk next year. Or just, I don't know. I just want to support Chris. I want to support this conference. I want it to just next year get bigger, better, stronger, whatever. The one thing I want everyone to know as much as possible is this is not an exclusive club where only podcasters can go, where only YouTubers can go, where only Facebook Live people can go, where only Instagram celebrities can go. It isn't about that. It's about finding people with similar types of passions, making friends, dare I say, and when possible, helping each other, inspiring each other, and just, you know, promoting each other, dare I say. One of the guys I met there, Tom Tate, from the Nintendo Power Time podcast. I'm sure I just said that wrong. I said it right. Nintendo Power Time podcast. He goes through each physical printing of the Nintendo Power magazine, essentially goes through page by page, not really page by page, and he goes through memories, feelings, articles in it, talks about the history of the show, the history of Nintendo, the history of the magazine, the history of the developers kind of thing. And he was one of the guys I met, and just a perfect example of beyond gentleman. You know, as soon as you tell them who you are, as soon as you know who they are, just shake hands and smile. And the only thing I'm thinking is, I really wish I could buy this guy a beer right now and just sit down and just ask him some of his Nintendo stories from back in the day. Met some really nice guys from Squadcast, S-Q-U-A-D, Spacecast, I believe. They're trying to do some WebRTC software to help podcasters do video content. I ain't never going to use that software. I got no need for that software. I'm a Linux nerd, okay? I compile kernels. I know how to make my own printer drivers. I don't need their software to do anything. OBS fills my need just fine, and I've donated money to them. Mumble fills my needs when I have groups of people. I give them money all the time. So I don't need their software, but damn it, they were smart, really smart. Passionate as hell guys trying to help people do better stuff. So guess what? I'm going to give them some money. I'm just going to sign up for their service, play with it for a little bit, and try to give them tips that I see could help their product be better. Because if they can be better, they can help everybody else be better. One of the things I heard more than a couple people say, and I said, and I believe myself, is there is no such thing as competition in podcasting. Every single time a guy who does acupuncture, a girl doing retro game music with orchestras, a real estate guy going over the finer points of his state's laws, anytime any of those people can get a single new person to install any podcasting application or use iTunes or whatever, or just listen on a webpage, every time they get somebody who's new, it's another potential listener who can listen to a Podnut show. I mean, I don't know how, if there's more podcasters, it has to be better for everybody. I have to believe that. I don't see a negative to it. So all I want to do is keep encouraging people. And I offered technical advice out the wazoo because I'm a nerd. Yet again, I'll say I'm a nerd. N-E-R-D, nerd. Got the crap beat out of me most of my elementary school, nerd. I was able to do long distance running when I was a kid. Why? Because I was already used to running because I was getting beat up so much. So I understand tech. I've already reached out to a couple of the people who I talked to and actually got their show name out of them and was actually able to find their show on my podcatcher. I will say, while 80% of the people don't have a podcast yet, the 20% that did, maybe 2% of them I was able to find while talking to them on my phone and actually subscribe. I sent emails to at least three shows. maybe 18 hours ago, and then as little as 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. Haven't got a single reply yet. Basically just asking them, you know, how they're, you know, did you have a good time? I had a good time. I did subscribe. I, of course, and first and foremost, gave them a compliment of some kind, because if, you know, you don't have something nice to say, why are they going to listen to you? So I said something truthful. You know, you're really passionate when you talk to this guy from Gamertag Radio, or, you know, I really like the pace and control you have on your show. I gave genuine compliments and then ended it with, and if you would like some constructive criticism, just let me know and I'll do everything I can to help you be better. I haven't got a single reply yet. So the first constructive criticism is going to be reply to your email. Even if it's an auto reply saying I'm busy, I'll be back later. I don't care. Just reply. I'm not perfect, but damn, do I try to reply to everybody as quick as possible. I know I'm unusual, but I make myself available every way I possibly can. Even if you Twitter message me, even if you Google Plus message me, if you hit me on one of the 15 emails, if you hit me on Voxer, even if you hit me on Facebook, I'll do my best to answer. Even though I don't want to ever open anything Facebook, I'll try to answer because that's what I do. Period. The second criticism I have for them is how they're every single one of these people have horrible notes. Absolutely horrible notes. You open up the notes and it's 2 to 3 sentences and that's it. No contact, no email, no website, no nothing. I do not understand how these people are thinking they're going to get feedback, communications, or support. I don't know. So that's going to be one of the things I ask them to please fix. It's not rocket science, people. You set it up once and then you just copy and paste it from show to show. This is why we have computers, to make mundane, repetitive tasks easier. Use it. I did also meet two people who all they did was edit audio. And I'm thinking to myself, that's fan-friggin-tastic. There are so many people out here that need your help. Again, I subscribed to over 140 podcasts. At least 30 of them need real help, need professional help, need consultation, if you will. So it'll be a perfect kind of way I could see them getting work and helping everyone be better. Now, I subscribe to 140, but I know in the last couple of years, I've heard 300 podcasts, at least I listen to, and they're so bad, I don't subscribe to them anymore. So there's near endless work for them out there. They just have to make the connections and make the name for themselves. And it's easy to do. And I told the one girl, I said, well, what's your rates? And she told me something like this for half an hour of editing, that, and this for half an hour editing, that for half hour of editing. I said, well, that's great. But A, that's not enough. And two, lower an offer rate, but then say at the end of the show, you insist on having a bumper saying audio was edited and produced by blah, 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 something like that. Or in a cheaper rate, you have them say it in the beginning. In the more expensive rate, you have them say it at the end, something. But you need to make sure people know you're doing this work when possible. Now, if they want to pay the extreme high price, then there is no tag in there of you doing the editing. And these are the little kinds of basic things that I hate to put it like this. An old person who's done this for more than a quarter of their life knows these kinds of things. So it's going to take me a while to figure out what the talk should be about, because if it's extremely ADD and I'm all over the place, it's not going to be a good talk. You know, it's not going to be a good talk if it's too much, too wide. So I'm going to have to figure out a focus. But I will. That's the thing. I will. Also, I believe they're selling the video from the event. So if you really want to see some of the talks, some of the sessions, you can buy the video and watch it after the fact. Speaking of ADD, I'm going to have to buy the video because I can't sit in on anybody's talk. This is another mental twitch that I have, I'll say. When I'm sitting there talking to somebody face-to-face, I have no real problem digesting what they're saying and talk back to them. But if I, like subconsciously, I know I'm in a one-way mode of communication and the person's talking at normal speed, I can't listen to what they're saying. It sounds ridiculously slow and my brain's going 1,500 miles an hour So I got to get up and leave. I got to get up and leave. I can't sit through it. I listen to podcasts at 3.5x. I'm probably going to turn that speed up here soon just to digest more content. But I believe now it's like I can't sit through normal speed stuff where I'm not intended to talk back. I think it's like one of the reasons why I don't watch TV and I don't watch movies at all. I listen to regular speed music only when I'm completely out of podcasts, so maybe an hour or two a week. And I just say it like this, for now, I'm okay with it, you know, period. If it becomes something that actually hurts my life, then I'll turn the speed down, but for now, I'm not. So I got to buy the content if I want to hear it. But of course, if I hear it, I'm going to convert it to audio and speed it up because that's what I do. I will say there was a lot of the talks were focused towards marketing, growing your audience, monetizing your this, getting your name out, making your show so popular, you know, this and that. How it was a lot of that. And that's okay, because for these kinds of events to be financially successful, aka for them to have a conference next year and the year after and the year after, their first and foremost job is to appease vendors and sponsors. So they got to make sure that while you pay price, you pay a price and you have a booth or a table in the vendor area, well, if you pay just a touch more, you also get a talk. And I'll say maybe 20% of the talks were like that. The other 80% of the talks, half of them were just individuals thinking this is what people want to know, how to do Facebook Live, how to get Instagram followers, how to make money off your podcast. You know, that was a huge majority of the rest of the talks, but there were more than a couple left over that were actually just genuine people talking about genuine passion about podcasting. And where the place is at, they're going to have it again next year. Really nice place, pools, stores surrounding it, whether you wanted beer on tap, you wanted Ruby Tuesdays, you wanted Buffalo Wild Wings, you wanted Fogo de Chao, a Brazilian steakhouse. There was a steak restaurant connected to the hotel, which I know was not cheap, but everyone said how good it was. There's literally within a very short walk, a 2-3 minute walk, there was a McDonald's, a IHOP, a Denny's, and more and more and more and more and more and more and more, all surrounding it. There's also a Wawa less than 2 minutes from my door, open 24 hours. Wawa is a Midwestern, it's an East Coast thing, like a mid-East Coast thing, I believe. And now they're starting to spread out. Really fairly priced food that's, I'd say, better than 7-Eleven, better than most convenience stores is what I'll say. Like really good soups. And then you, of course, have sodas and waters and chips and everything else. There's also a giant wheel. I believe it's called the Orlando Eye, 400 feet tall Ferris wheel, which I didn't get on. I looked at it. Me and Eric walked up to it. I looked up. Yeah, let's go back to the conference. A little bit tall for me. I will say if I had a group of people there pressuring me, I'm pretty sure I'd go on and I'm pretty sure I'd be fine. But maybe we can do that next year is the logic. For me, at least, because it's Orlando, I think the flight was actually cheap. I want to say the round trip ticket, including my bag fee, was less than, I think it was $190, less than $200, which I think was really good. It was just a hell of a lot of fun. Really, really nice people. And I can't encourage anyone more. If you just want to meet nice people who really care about what they're doing, go there. You will find a hell of a lot of them. Okay, I got two emails here. First one from Lyle. I was talking about vision and brains and how what you see is actually delayed by a split second. What you see is in the past. He sent me an email saying, turns out most of your vision is your brain interpretation of things. Let me see if I do this. Turns out most of your vision is your brain's interpretation of things. If I ask you to close your eyes and put a coin in your hand, you would rub it around and try to feel what it was. Your eyes do the same thing. They have little micro movements, and your brain puts it all together to give you an image. I get what he's saying, and I agree with him. So you put the coin in your hand, you try to go, you know, top left, around the top, and then you go back around, you go back around. When you look at a camera pointed really close to someone's eye as they're doing stuff, the eye literally jerks all around, and your brain basically stitches everything, and it's a very coordinated effort. Now, how the brain works, how the brain interprets the world around us is completely fascinating. And the picture he's showing is of Michael from Vsauce. Vsauce, I do believe, is one of those YouTube channels. I would love for my kids to watch them all. And if I could, I'd pay them to watch every single video Vsauce has, because they would only be smarter and better because of it. They're not necessarily educational videos. They're more just, I don't know the right word, experiences, facts about life, facts about our universe, perspectives that people see, examples of behavior, examples of cult. It's just a whole bunch of things. I just find it very interesting. The main guy behind the channel, Michael, I just think has a really good way of communicating. And to be honest, that's one of the things I think I like best about the channel. It's his ability to communicate concepts and ideas. He might not even be the writer, but at least how he does it, I think, is really good. We do have another email here from Ryan Ridenour, one of the best guys there is out there in the world, period. Thank you very much for the email, both Ryan and Lau. Ryan's email is about episode 10, the last episode. He says, hey, Thor, I have to say episode 10 of DDG was the best one so far. Well worth the long wait. I'm very sorry about that, Ryan. He said, loved hearing about what we actually see is in your past. I've experienced a version of this while driving. When you see the exit 1 mile sign ahead, it always seems like time slows down when you have to use the restroom, and that last mile can take up to 30 minutes to drive. LOL. Hell yes. He also says, great to hear you are kicking ass on your diet. Hopefully you can get off the metformin. I'm told that's hard to get off of. My doctor started me on it on Truicity a month ago, and my glucose has been cut in half. Wow. And finally broke the 250-pound mark I've been struggling with for nearly a year. I'm down to 237 and dropping. My gastric sleeve surgery is set for July, and I can't wait to get it done. Keep pounding out the content. Ryan, aka Uncle Bonehead. P.S. Do you have a promo that I can put in my podcast? Okay. I actually have promos because I put them at the end of all the Pod Nuts podcast. Uncle Bonehead is one of those guys spilling, oozing, dare I say, squirting passion all over. He's had more than a couple shows. Some of them are about hard rock. Some of them, I believe, were about politics. No matter what, when you listen to Uncle Bonehead doing anything, what you get yourself is some Uncle Bonehead. So I'll say, Ryan, no, I don't have any promos. You're not going to get any promos, but I'll be happy to give you money because that's what I do here, Podnuts. You contact me. We can set up a arrangement. I give you money. You mention Podnuts in your content, and then we'll both be happy because I have a tax write-off, and I support those who support you. So that's the arrangement. You ain't getting no damn promos, Ryan. I will say about the metformin. I've had my glucose monitor now for 3 months, I'm going to say. Of course, he told me to get it 6 months ago, but I have it now for 3 months. I maybe measure my glucose 3 times a week because I just don't remember. Or I get home and I just have too much to do. I gotta, you know, do this for this kid, do that for that kid, cook dinner for the wife, or clean the stuff so I can cook dinner for the wife, then cook stuff for the wife, then, you know, just keeps going and going and going. But most of the time I do measurements on my glucose. It's between 83 and 95, I'm going to say, like almost every time. I've seen it down in the 70s a couple times. I've never seen it over 100. But I've been on this diet from last March. I'm tempted to say April because I believe it was the very end of March. So let's just say April. So it's almost 10 months of this diet. and I got the glucose, 7 months into the diet. So I expect my glucose to not be off the charts, but I believe those are pretty good numbers. I'm not a measuring kind of guy. I don't look at my download stats. I don't weigh myself ever. I don't do the glucose meter every day, even though I should. It's like, I don't know. I guess I don't like being judged. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure those are good numbers. And I understand from a liability viewpoint, it's going to be very difficult for the doctor to say, you don't have to take metformin anymore. And then what if in 3 months or whatever, my glucose goes back up? But what I am going to do is I'm going to let my doctor know I passionately want to get off metformin. And if the last 8 months, 10 months don't show that to you, and if he says, no way, you're not getting off it, then I will just go to a different doctor. Because I don't expect him to say, okay, you're off of it. What I expect him to do, though, is to tell me the path to get off of it. If he says, lose 15, 20 more pounds or this and that, and still monitor your glucose for at least 6 months, if he gives me a path, then at least I can have something to shoot for. I can have something to aim for. But if he just says no, that's not cool. So, and I don't expect him to. He's a very nice doctor, is what I'll say. I'm also going to try to get him to get me off my blood pressure med. I do believe the drop in weight now means I don't need that anymore either. So I might actually be 46 years old in May and not be on medication. That's the real goal, not be on any medication. And not because I'm not going to the doctor or because I'm avoiding it, but because I actually don't need it. That would be a very nice goal. And a secret goal I have that I don't want to say to anybody in real life, especially like my wife, or my kids, or a coworker, or my doctor, or anything like that, is I have another side goal. When I was 18 years old, so very close to 30 years ago, when I was 18 years old, I always, in air quotes, because it only happened like 3 or 4 times, I always came in second place in Glen Burnie High School cross country practices, because I never made it to an event because they kicked me off the team because I was quite antisocial. But I liked cross country running because I didn't have to talk to people, but I always came in second place. And a guy who came in first place went on to Olympic trials. I'm not sure he ever made it, but he at least was a possible guy to be on the Olympic team. And my best recorded time was 2.8 miles in 14:58. Which is basically, I could do a sub 5 minute mile, and I could nearly do 3 miles, each of them sub 5 minutes. That's how close that was, kind of thing. Now, I don't think I'm going to get close to that, nor do I think I'm going to run a marathon or anything else. But what I want to do, because I first want to get my weight as far down as possible. By the end of this year, I would like to be able to at least run a couple miles, 2 miles at least. But I want to drop as much weight as I possibly can for a couple reasons. I believe it's tendons. It might be ligaments, but I believe it's tendons on outside of either one of my ankles, which is bad. That was from injuries from skateboarding and bikes and everything else. My left knee has a partially torn meniscus. So I want as little weight as possible on that knee. And technically I have a second degree separated shoulder. My right shoulder. So I want as little, mass going up and down as possible for that. So I want to lose a little bit more before I start to do anything or even remotely close to that. But I would like to at least be able to do that a little bit. And the last thing I'm going to do is come on this show and praise healthy this, healthy that. Everyone needs to be running or exercising because I don't do that. Everyone should be exercising their brain. Everybody should be doing everything they can to get smarter and better at whatever the hell it is they want to do. But exercise, to me, can make you better and kill you just the same. You know what I mean? Micromort. Don't believe me. Google Micromort. 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 Everything has danger involved in it, including exercising, including running, including swimming, including riding a bike. Everything has danger in it. That's just the truth of life. So I'm going to try to do that. We'll see what happens. While I look in my spam box and I get sexy Brazilian girls have the secret. Delete forever. Sorry, I was in my email box looking to see if I got any more emails for the show. But no, I did get spam. So I want to thank everyone for the support. Lyle and Ryan, thank you very much for the emails. I also got an email really quick, not to door-to-door G, DDG, but to a different email address from Chuck the Rhino. And he asked if Book Nuts was pod fading. Book Nuts hasn't had an episode for at least 2 months, I'm gonna say at least 2 months. One of the main hosts had a dramatic change in career, purely voluntary too. From everything at least I could gather, purely voluntary change in career, where he's not even home a huge amount of the time. And I don't pressure anybody to do anything. I mean, I have a hard time telling my kids what to do. I have a really hard time telling my wife what to do. Unless she's about to get hit by a car, I'm not going to tell her to move, kind of thing. And I'm not going to ever pressure a host on PodNuts. That's not how I roll. This is a community thing where people are here for fun. People are not here for livelihood. People are not here because they have no place else to go. They're here for fun. And when I found out he was going to be busy doing other things, at least temporarily, I said, okay, well, when you're ready to come back, just let me know. And, you know, we can record on the show. And it hasn't really happened yet where he's found the time. He's working on it. He once in a while pings me and tells me he's trying to do a show. You know, he hasn't forgotten. And I'm not going to pressure him. I will never pressure anybody to do a show. Cody Cooper, Lennox for the Rest of Us, was another guy. Just went through a huge career shift. I'm not saying, hey, you know that other stuff happening at home? Don't think about that right now. Come on a podcast. It doesn't matter if your wife needs you. Just give your kid a waffle and, you know, come on this show with me. No, I will not do that under any circumstance. I will just tell them, literally, I give them love and support. And is there anything you need? Can I help you out with something? You know, because I will. But for right now, Book Nuts hasn't released an episode. If you want to stay subscribed, I can promise you they're going to try to do episodes here shortly. And I'll say, worst case scenario, if they don't have the ability to do a show, then you just have an extra feed in your player not doing a lot. I don't know. And I did want to at least promote two podcasts. I would really like to be able to promote two podcasts each time I do one of these shows, because I truly believe there's some really good stuff out there that people need to listen to. The first one I'm going to suggest is political, aka it comes with a warning. First off, put the phone down and let me talk a little bit. It turns out it's always been true since the beginning of time, especially when we had culture, communities, and any kind of outlets for information. Whether it was books, newspaper, radio, TV, internet, YouTube, podcasts, whatever. Nearly everything is politically biased a little. It's really super difficult to not be politically biased. You literally have to be talking about crocheting, and then you still have to put it, you know, pick your terms very carefully, because there are some classic crocheters, and then there's the new modern. You know, everything is politically motivated. Everything has bias. Everything has things connected to it. So with that said, if you ever watch something, listen to something, or read something and think it isn't politically biased, guess what? It is. You just agree with their bias. That, I believe, is the unbelievable truth to it. Because I've seen it so many times out of friends and family members, where I look at something and I think to myself, well, damn, that's slanted. That's not completely truthful. They twisted those words a little bit to try to, you know, say this. And then that person with me will say, yeah, they are exactly right. I'm thinking to myself, no, they're not. You just happen to agree with them. That's all. That's called cognitive bias. Okay. Now that's it. Everything is politically biased. It doesn't mean if you don't agree with it, it's not good. Okay. People need to differentiate that. And I'm trying to get better at it. So here's my example. I downloaded a podcast from someone I met there, and she was definitely one of the more famous people there. The name of the podcast is Congressional Dish with Jennifer Briney. It's at Jen Briney on Twitter, J-E-N-B-R-I-N-E-Y. And I can tell you this, listening to what she says, I do not agree with her attitude. I do not agree with what she claims is being obvious facts. I don't agree with at least 80% of what she says. And most of what I don't agree with isn't the facts that she states, but the underpinning of them and what she's trying to insinuate with them. Now, with that said, it doesn't matter if I agree with her completely or not. What it matters is when I listen to her, are my eyes opened up? Okay. I believe every time we take in someone else's perspective, we ourselves become at least slightly more educated. Okay. I'm not saying this, listening to this will make you a genius, but I will say listening to this will at least help you understand how some people think, and it will enlighten you to some facts, whether you want to like them or not. She will talk about things, and then if you go look them up on any website, you'll find out, yeah, what she said was right. What she said was true. She had her slant on it, whether she liked it or hated it, but it's still true. She's really friggin' smart. I can say that without any hesitation in my voice. I don't say that about a lot of people. I meet a lot of stupid people in all forms of life, whether it be podcasting, whether it be doctors, whether it be auto mechanics, whether it be the cable guy that comes to my house. I also meet smart people in all walks of life too. And she is definitely one of the smart people, period, bar none. So I encourage people to check out Congressional Dish. I'm trying to see if I can see what her URL is. congressionaldish.com/feed/podcast. I definitely encourage people to at least check her out. She's one of the people I joined the Patreon for, but because I Patreon, I support so many, I can't never give anybody $5-$10 a month. So I'm giving her, I think it was $2 a month. Let me pick another show here. Okay. Speaking of, I don't care if I mentioned this guy before or not. Speaking of cognitive bias, thinking of, you know, things like that. Here's a very interesting podcast called You Are Not So Smart. Looks like right now it's on SoundCloud is where it's hosted. You Are Not So Smart. And the icon is a like old world guy with a curly mustache and a pipe. You Are Not So Smart. And it says, You Are Not So Smart is a show about psychology that celebrates science and self-delusion. In each episode, we explore what we've learned so far about reasoning, bias, judgment, and decision making. And here's the classic example. I give you a mug, and then somebody else says, I will buy that from you. You will instinctively say a number. The masses will, let's say, hover around their average is $7. Okay. Now, if I tell you this mug is worth $5, that's going to influence what you say when that someone else wants to buy it from you. That's because they seeded a value in your head. This is why when you negotiate, whoever's the first person to say a number is typically the one that loses, because the precedent was set. Once they set that precedent, now you know that you have room. So if I'm in there for a job and I know, you know, I could be getting paid, you know, maybe $25 an hour, maybe, I don't know. And then I'm talking to them and they tell me $20 an hour. I know I can go now higher because they're going to try to lowball me. Where if they said $27,000 a year, I'm thinking, oh man, they must be really desperate. And then I'll just say a touch more because I had that preconceived notion in my head. He is a very smart guy. Early in the episodes, he ate a cookie on the recording. Now he does it off mic, which is good. Another guy, really smart guy, really smart guy, with guests. And I hate guests. I despise guests. I don't know why, but I do. And he has a guest on once in a while, but they always end up being really insightful interviews. So I encourage people check out Congressional Dish and You Are Not So Smart. I'll try to have his links in the show. And I'll ask everyone again, if you would like to shoot me an email, please do not forget ddg@podnuts.com. If you want to send me a voicemail, 707-6-PODNUT. And I would encourage people, do not forget, support those who support you. And I'll talk to you again real soon.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I'd like to invite you to listen to all the great shows on the PodNuts Tech Podcast Network. My show is themed Everyday Tech for Everyday People. You can take a listen over at podnuts.com or by subscribing to the RSS feed and downloading them directly. We hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.